Very important question. I need your eyes. Who here likes pie? Yeah? Cherry pie? If you've got a favorite, stick your hand high. Cherry pie? Apple pie. Apple pie, pretty high. Okay, I'm going to get a little more controversial here. Mincemeat. Oh, yeah. I know. So you can boo out loud if you have to. That's all right. I like mincemeat pie. Key lime pie. Lemon meringue pie. Blackberry pie. Blueberry pie. Pie. Yes, please. That is the answer. I don't know many people that don't like pie. But there are different types of pie. Now, when I said pie, you probably thought of this kind of pie, right? This kind of pie. It's just pie. Some sort of fruit something or other pie. How many of you thought about this kind of pie? You did? Do you like pie? I barely understand pie. I understand pie enough to make it through high school. That is about it. And hopefully, none of you have enjoyed this kind of pie. I have nothing against it. Apparently, it's necessary, but it is not good eating. That's all I know. So there's different types of pie. So when you hear the word pie, you might make associations with your favorite kind of pie, but there are actually different categories of pie. Now, the reason I brought that up, in addition to wanting to talk about pie, is that one of the words that we love the most, and one of the concepts that, especially as Americans, we value the highest, is a word that actually has a number of different definitions, depending on what category you're thinking of. And that word is freedom. Now, as Americans, we deeply value freedom, are deeply enshrined in the Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom and what freedom truly means. What are the limits to our freedom? Whose life, whose liberty, whose happiness are we pursuing? These are issues that, as you well know, are being hotly debated in culture. So whether that is freedom as gets expressed by the maybe concerns about vaccine mandates, or freedom and the consequences and responsibilities of freedom that in the last couple of weeks now, as issues like abortion are coming to the surface again, what are their limits to our personal rights? Whose life, whose liberty, whose freedom? So these issues, they're hot topics. The room got real quiet. Did you notice that? Really, really hot topics. And they're really important topics. They truly are. One thing that I think, and this is this, and I didn't plan to land on this passage on this week. I mean, as I was planning this series in the book of Galatians several months ago, wanting to talk about what it means to be part of the local church and what it means for freedom in Christ and things like that, one of the habits that we need to get good at as Christians is that when we hear a word, freedom, we hear conversations about freedom, there's an important question we need to learn how to ask, and it's this. What type of freedom are we talking about? What category of freedom are we talking about? Because there is a difference between what we often think of as American freedom, quote unquote, and freedom in Christ. Now, the two, there's, of course, plenty of areas of compatibility. You could probably argue very effectively that it's our freedom in Christ and even the biblical concept and philosophical structures of valuing the individual that we find in the New Testament, that we find in those ancient concepts of freedom in Christ that made possible American freedom. It's on the bedrock of Christian philosophy that our democracy was birthed, and yet they are different things. So there's compatibility, there is some overlap, but they are nonetheless very different categories. What type of freedom are we talking about? And the reason why I think we need to get good at this habit is because, you know, when we just hear freedom, if we put it all into the same bucket, then we are prone as Christians to get our definitions of Christian freedom confused with American freedom. Both matter. Both are very important. Both must be valued. Both must be understood, but they are different categories. And if we're not careful, somebody can use a word like freedom, and it can be used to manipulate us as Christians. Every political movement would love to have the church on its side. Have you noticed this? So what I want to do today is not so much to go into a deep dive into American freedom. There's plenty of other places where that's being discussed. And there's plenty of people who are far more qualified than me to talk about it. But what I do hope we'll do today is do a really deep dive into Galatians chapter 5 and this deeply important concept of Christian freedom. What is Christian freedom? What does it mean to be free in Christ? Where does it come from? How does it work? What does it lead toward? So I urge you, have your Bibles open so you can find a paper Bible. If you didn't bring one, we've got Bibles all around the building. Amazingly enough, you could find one. Or you open up your phone and you got the YouVersion app and you shut down TikTok. And you open up the Word of God, because here's the thing, is we want to make certain as Christians, our worldview, how we view the world around us, is shaped first and foremost by the Word of God rather than culture. We want the Word of God to be the lens through which we make decisions. The Word of God. That's why one of the foundational questions we even have rallied around as a church and as a denomination is this question: where is it written? So let's deep dive into Galatians chapter 5 and take a look at where is it written. You with me? You're not sure yet. I know. Okay. Hang on tight. Just settle your heart a little bit, but let's make certain that we are open. We are open to what God's word has to say about freedom so we can understand Christian freedom so that we don't get manipulated, so we don't get taken off track. So we don't find ourselves fearful in places where we need not be fearful, or find ourselves complacent in areas where we need to be diligent. Galatians chapter 5. You got it? You found it? Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Here's the foundation, and then we're going to start reading. We're going to then go further, verses 13 through 26. But here's Galatians 5:1. I'll put it at the lower part of the screen because I want to keep this verse up for a while so we can really understand this really important concept. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that, what's the name? Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Let's read that together out loud again, okay? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay. So here's the first foundational concept. Who sets us free? Christ. Christ sets us free. And if Christ has set us free by his finished work on the cross, we'll talk more about that in a moment. If Christ is the one who has already set us free, can anybody else take it away from you? The freedom we have in Christ is a freedom that is not fragile. Some president can't take it away, whether current or past or future. An act of Congress cannot take away our freedom in Christ, because who gave it to us? Christ. A change in the laws can't take away our freedom in Christ. Even, God forbid, an invading army could not take away our freedom in Christ, because it was given by Christ. And it's the result of his finished work on the cross. It's already done. Now, our freedom cannot be taken away from us, but it can be forsaken by us, right? Stand firm then, and do not What's the word? Let. Do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Our freedom in Christ is not fragile, but it can be forsaken. We can be free and yet act and live as though we weren't. We can be free and yet functionally still enslaved. Do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Now let's jump up to verse 13. Because here it helps us to understand not only who set us free, but why we were set free. Okay? Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not let or do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. We'll talk about more about the biblical definition of the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So where does our freedom come from? It comes from Christ. And who is our freedom? What is the purpose of our freedom? What are we supposed to do with our freedom if we are exercising our freedom well? We're supposed to serve. So your freedom is for you, and yet you are not the only beneficiary of your own freedom. Freedom in Christ exercised well will result in good things happening to other people and not just you. Verse 14. Sorry, excuse me. I've tried to hit my mute button before I did that. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. We'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. For the flesh, desires what is contrary to the Spirit. So flesh versus spirit. And the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another. So that you do not do whatever you want. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So let's do a little bit of fill in the blanks here so we can understand Christian freedom well. Now, this could be a great place to take notes, by the way. So you've got those connection cards in front of you? You could take one of those and you could write on the back of those. We'll print more. It's fine. So, I am set free from. What am I set free from? Slavery, yeah. Lord, the law, that's right. I am set free from, here's the first thing I'm set free from. I am set free from the requirements of the Old Testament law. If you're filling in the blank, I'm set free from the requirements of the Old Testament. You know, a few pens are moving. That's pretty encouraging. I'm set free from the requirements of the Old Testament law. Now, does that mean that the Old Testament laws, like the Ten Commandments that they're learning in children's church, no longer apply? They're no good? Those laws are broken? They're horrible? No. Those laws still apply. They're still good. This is still guidelines that God gave the human race for human flourishing. The laws are great. The laws aren't broken. We are. I am. All of the Old Testament laws, the Ten Commandments and all the rest, there's nothing wrong with them. Those are good ways to live. The problem is I cannot live up to all of them, nor can you. And so thank God that the Lord sent Jesus to fulfill the requirements of the Old Testament law. It's not to do away with the law, it's to fulfill the law. I don't meet the standards of God's righteousness. That doesn't mean that the standard doesn't go away. It means that someone has come to help me meet those standards of righteousness, to meet those standards of righteousness on my behalf, on your behalf. Thank God the Our righteousness from God is given to us through Christ, because of Christ, as a gift. Yeah? Yeah. I am set free by. What are you set free by? The Lord. That's right. Or if you're filling in the blanks, here's one way you could put that. I am set free by the finished work of Christ on the cross. That Jesus took all of human sin on himself and had it die with him. All of the righteous requirements of God that I could not meet, that you could not meet, that I could never meet, Jesus met those for me. Jesus took the penalty for my sin. Jesus took all of my shortcomings and he killed them with him as he himself gave his life. I am set free by Jesus' finished work on the cross. What he has already done. I am set free to. Can you remember what we're set free for? What am I set free for? What are you set free for? That's right. I'm set free to serve others humbly in love. That's the purpose of my freedom. That's how good Christian freedom will be exercised. By lives in service. They will know we are Christians by our tweets, obviously. By your Facebook post. And if you love Jesus, you're going to send this to everyone. I realize it's guilt-laden. And I realize this is the most barbarous language I can come up with. But you got to share it with everyone. No, you don't. You don't. But there's another thing that I'm set free from. The second thing this passage reminds us of, tells us about, I am set free from, and if you're filling in the blanks, I am set free from my sin nature's control over me. This is the conversation or the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. I'm set free from my sin nature's control over me, the flesh, the things that I want, that I really want, the cravings of my soul, whether that's a biological craving, whether that's a relational craving. There are things that I want, that I really want, things I need to get off my chest, things, ways I need to express myself, ways I want to experience my best life that are not actually good for me. And they're not in alignment with God's plan for me. And I'm set free by the Spirit's work in my life. Now, that doesn't mean that I won't ever struggle with sin. Christians struggle with sin. The difference is that sin is no longer in the driver's seat of your life. Jesus has come into your life, has come into your heart. The Spirit is right there with you, wanting to, that old line, Jesus, take the wheel. He can. Now, that doesn't mean that your sin nature is kicked out of the car. I wish it was. That'll happen when we're resurrected in a new heaven and a new earth. But the sin in our life becomes the backseat driver. It's still there, but it's yipping in the backseat. Blah, 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 blah. Take a right here. Blah, blah, blah. You're going too fast. Blah, blah, blah. I want to pull over. Blah, 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 blah. This is what I want. And the best part is, even though it's there, you don't have to listen to it anymore. And it cannot take the wheel away from you. It can just be yipping in the backseat. Blah, 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 blah. It's no longer in control. My sin nature's control over me. I've been freed from my sin nature's control over me, and I'm set free to, if you're filling in the blanks, I'm set free to be led by the Spirit. That the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, is right there with me, right there living inside of you, inside of me, ready to give us guidance, advice, encouragement, strength, love, joy, peace, patience. You need more of that? Sure. Kindness. Faithfulness, self-control. So let's talk about the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. And that's actually where this passage is going. Okay, verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Maybe they're obvious. They're obvious to Paul, and they could be obvious to us. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. I had to look up debauchery. What is debauchery? It's a version of impurity. You know, it's that God has given us these gracious guidelines for our human sexuality, and it's when we really, really want things that are outside of God's guidelines for our sexuality. And we live in a culture that tells us that when it comes to your own sexual expression, you have the right to do whatever you want with whoever you want, as long as they're consenting. And it's possible, this is what this passage is telling us, there can be things, really strong desires inside of us. This is where, you know, it's hard to get honest, I suppose, but maybe these are things that you have felt and experienced, where we long for, want, even crave sexual expression that's not good for us. Second category, idolatry and witchcraft. Now, idolatry is when we put our trust in other systems and stuff and structures rather than putting our hope and trust in Jesus. Witchcraft, as best I understand it, is when we're putting our trust in substances to make our life complete. So we find ourselves putting our hope maybe in our money. Are we finding our satisfaction by how good we're doing at work? We can turn our work into an idol. Or my life would be complete if I just had a, and then it's, you know, whatever that car is, whatever that house is. My life would be complete if the Seahawks could just win another. That wouldn't hurt. That would be fine. But we can take things that are meant to be just parts of our life, and we can make them ultimate. We can make them the source of our hope, the thing that we place our trust in, the place we find our strength in. We can do the same thing with substances. I would be okay if I could just have another, whatever that is. And then we move into the third category, the more kind of relational categories of the acts of the flesh. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy. I will get my way, and I don't care who I use, who I hurt, and who I manipulate in the process. I will express myself without caring for how my self-expression affects the people around me. Then we move into another category, perhaps, of the acts of the flesh. Drunkenness, orgies. It's what I do to unwind. It's what happens in Vegas, and it stays in Vegas. See, there are things that I deeply desire and want that are longing to take control of my life, that want to take over. There's parts of me that craves things that are not actually good for me, that craves things that aren't good for the people around me, that craves things that God never designed me for. As we finish off the passage, it says, "See, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." That if we find ourselves just ruled by our flesh, ruled by our own desire, ruled by our cravings, ruled by our need to do whatever it is that we want to do, we could find ourselves distant from God. Or here's a concept, and here's one of the differences perhaps between American freedom and Christian freedom. Okay? I could have all the life liberty, all the rights of life liberty and pursuit of happiness, and yet be living in absolute spiritual bondage. It is possible to have American freedom, and I hope you do, and I hope we defend it, and I hope it exists forever. It is possible to have American freedom and not have any freedom in Christ. That's where the two are different. And in fact, if we look at, you know, maybe the world around us, the country around us, we are surrounded by people who, because they don't know Jesus, aren't following Jesus, they have American freedom, but they're living in absolute spiritual bondage. Now, in the new heaven and the new earth, there will not be nation states. I mean, when Jesus comes, all the lines on the map get erased. Which is why there's only one book that matters where your name is. And I hope you are a faithful American until the day you die, but at the day my heart stops beating, what's in my passport isn't going to matter one lick. But if there could be, you know, if there could be, and I don't believe there is, but if there could be, you know, kind of nation states in heaven, and you look at the population of, you know, the American population in heaven, at the rate we're going, and with the people around you, the population of the United States of America in heaven, which, anyways, would be very small compared to its population here on earth. It is possible to have American freedom and yet be in spiritual bondage. That should motivate us. That should help us to think clearly about the issues of our time, or at least more clearly about the issues of our time. In the same way, it is possible, though I hope this never happens here, it is possible for people to not have American freedom and yet live in absolute freedom in Christ. You think of those, our brothers and sisters in Christ who survived communist China, and the underground church where there's actually more Christians in China right now than, as far as we know, than there are in the United States. Even though a significant part of that, some of those things have changed over the last few years in terms of national policy and such. But people that don't have the freedoms we enjoy and yet in Christ are absolutely free. I hope you have both. I hope we treasure both. But we need to remember there is a difference between American freedom and what it means to be free in Christ. And in Christ, we are set free from our bondage to the flesh, our bondage to our own sinful desires. And we are set free for life in the Spirit. And that's what the next part of this passage talks about, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the kind of things that starts to emerge in our lives as we are yielded to the Spirit with our life. This is the stuff that the Spirit of God wants to do in you and in me and in us. The fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is a fancy word for patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, for those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. The good news, friends, is that you and I are offered freedom in Christ. I am free in Christ. Are you? If you've placed your hope and trust in Jesus as your Savior, if you've said, Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for me. You rose again from the dead for me. I know that you have fulfilled all of the righteous requirements of God. In all the ways that my life is broken, God, you are making it whole. I am free in you, regardless of what happens around me. This is a freedom that no one can take away. I am free in Christ. I am free in Christ. And of course, that has tremendous implications for how we feel about ourselves, how we self-define. It also has tremendous implications for how we do life together. Because not only am I free in Christ, and you are free in Christ, we are free in Christ. The local church can be a place where we experience that freedom. Where your past is forgiven. Where your future is assured. Where regardless of what you've done, there's a different pathway forward for you. Where together we experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Where things are changing inside of me. So that the sinful things in my life that I crave, I crave them less. And the good things in my life, I long for them more. Where I'm experiencing and you're experiencing and we are experiencing together greater degrees of love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. We're being changed by the Spirit from the inside out. There's no greater message than that. There's no greater life experience than that. To experience the transforming power of God in your life, do you long for it? I long to be part of that together. Would you dream with me? This is the question we've been asking every week in this series. Dream with me about the local church. What would it be like if this place, this one tiny little expression of the kingdom of God, this one little spot would be a place where people experience true freedom? Where addictions of the past finally get broken. Where the shame and the guilt that hold people down is finally removed and they get to see themselves and have people around them see them in brand new ways. Dream with me about the local church, because the local church is a group of believers who are following Jesus together. Where the desires of the flesh are being put to death. Where the work of the Spirit is being encouraged in our lives. Where the fruit of the Spirit is becoming increasingly evident in our lives. Dream about that with me. Do you long to be a part of something like that? I do, and the good news is you see it in the people around you. You see it in people whose lives are being changed. People who find strength, people who find new ways of looking at the world, people who start to see themselves in brand new ways. The local church is a group of believers who are following Jesus together. Let's pray about it. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we can experience together as we follow Jesus together. Lord, help us to be so clear on what it means to be free in Christ that we can't be manipulated just by the cultural forces around us. Lord, enable us to live free, truly free. And if you're here today or within the sound of my voice, or you're watching online, or you're listening to the podcast, and for some reason you realize that you are distant from God today, I want to give you a chance. I want to give you a chance to reconnect. Even that simple prayer in your heart that says, Jesus, I need you in my life. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a new person. I've got good news for you. He answers prayers like that. He brings forgiveness. He brings new life. He brings peace. Open your heart to him. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me your child. Change my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you can. Thank you that you do. And Lord, help us to dream together well about what it means to be a community of faith that embodies that kind of freedom. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.